You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be running out of door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Hey, hey, delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. And I'm going to ask you right now, Eric, could I have a little more on the headphone, please? Because I can't hear myself. And you may not know that, but if you can't hear yourself in the headphones on radio, it's really disconcerting. Anyway, April 3rd, 2011. How did this happen? The year is speeding by, but today is one of my favorite days of the entire year. It's the day that the Sebastopol Farmers Market opens. And I know that so many people, not just in West County, but anyone who visits the Sebastopol Farmers Market, it's such a herald of spring. It's such a great opportunity to see people that even if you want to see them during the off season, you don't necessarily get the time, especially given how much rain we had. So today was just glorious, bright and sunny. I was there for a couple of hours, got there about 9:45, and people were already arriving, even though officially it doesn't open until 10 o'clock. So the season has begun. Pretty soon, you're going to need to take your parasol. It'll be so hot. And on that note, I would like to introduce my guest, returning for I don't know how many times this is. It's Paula Downing. Yeah, you've been here several times. I really appreciate it, Paula. It's Paula Downing, manager of the Sebastopol Farmers Market, the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, and a member of the Sonoma Alliance for Veggie Outreach Revolution, otherwise known as SAVOR. And we're going to be hearing a lot of that about that program. Are you tired?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you have to get up really early to put together a farmer's market, don't you?
You do. I get up at 5, I get there at 7, even though it doesn't open till 10. Mm-hmm. But if I don't get there at 7, I'm late.
So, and rain or shine?
Yeah.
Rain or shine. I bet you really are happy with this week of
It was a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful day. There's 6 planets in Aries today. And if you're talking about spring, that was like spring over and over and over again. Things were busting out all over. It was really a great day.
Yeah.
And people were happy.
Yeah. People were happy. Yeah. People were in good spirits.
Yeah.
It was really a nice day. There were a lot of people taking photographs. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of familiar vendors. It was so nice to see Princess Aisha.
Uh-huh.
Her beautiful face just beaming. Uh-huh. She was so happy.
Uh-huh.
Nancy Skull. Uh-huh. Nice to see Franco Dunn and his brother with their wonderful sausages. I was so spaced. I left. I said, make sure you hold some chorizo for me.
Uh-huh.
And then I just left.
Left without it.
Yeah, I left without a couple of things. But I kept getting sidetracked by running into people or mm-hmm. seeing new things.
Yeah.
There's a new vendor, I think new, with soaps and a variety of things.
Her name is Patricia, and her company is PK Sonoma. Her product is really beautiful.
Yeah, and
it's
they have a soap for your animals.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought that was new.
They have both a soap and a salve that I guess if, little... problems from fleas or something, and if your animal licks it, it's okay. It's
mm-hmm.
edible.
Mm-hmm. She's extremely knowledgeable about the properties of herbs that she uses. She mm-hmm. actually was the the herbalist at Matanzas Creek for a long time.
Oh, right. Okay. I know who she is.
So people who
she's
know
been
her
on the show,
that.
Of course. That, yeah. That's why it was so familiar.
So she's really knowledgeable. And there's a few of her products. I use her soap and I also use her chamomile cream, which is really great for kind of a psoriasis-y skin that I get sometimes.
You got sunburned today.
I got sunburned.
You really got sunburned. Yeah. You got to put something.
Yeah, something on.
And I know she knows we've talked about things that are good for sunburn. Yeah. So if you don't have something at home, color up.
I have something. Okay. I have some of her stuff, actually.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's nice to know
PK
that
there's Sonoma. She actually has a store in Sonoma now.
Yeah. And an herbal remedy for sunburn is just such a great thing to have at hand when you accidentally, you know, forget to cover up a certain part.
Well, I didn't anticipate that it was going to be that. I don't know. I just didn't anticipate it today.
Well, it was, there was a cool breeze. But, but when the sun's out, even if you don't feel it, you are getting burned.
Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to talk about was the challenges of a market manager. Because I know that for people who just come to the market, shop, and leave, they don't necessarily... They see the market and think, oh, yeah, you're just there. You collect the stall fee. You pay the rent. And they don't know that there's so much behind the scenes that happens.
It's actually, people ask me, it's hard to articulate what I do. I really juggle a million balls. But it's about, for me, it's about the, you want to have variety and interesting, high quality food. So of all the, you know, like today I had 10 people come and bring me stuff.
The people who wanted to get into the market?
Yeah. And what I do rather than, I don't do the, fill out the application on the website because then they are a faceless, nameless creature. Mm-hmm. I make them come and bring me stuff and then I have a face and a name and we have a little relationship and that's how I start the process of choosing people. So it's, you know, people came and they're very hopeful and there are people doing amazing, interesting things. So different, like I had a lady who, she's from Palestine and she makes falafel and she wants to do falafel sandwiches. And so then you have to say to her, well, I don't know if you're going to make it on just falafel sandwiches. You have to think about something else. And then somebody came with raw food and with, and she was really interesting. She had a very interesting product line, nice packaging. So you think about all that stuff. And you help them with all that stuff. That's all the new people. Sebastopol is small, so I'm always juggling space.
We how many vendors? What's your maximum number of vendors?
45.
45.
It's really little. And so you're juggling space. And then there's all the stuff about who goes where and, you know, who has what product. I mean, today was problematic because there's not much food because it's rained so much the farmers have. It's either rotted, their seeds have rotted. Or they...
So a lot of people lost what they already had in the ground.
Yeah, a lot of people lost. It's been a really big loss, which is one of the reasons to come to the market right now, is to give them something, because they've, you know, a lot of people have replanted acres. They just lost what they planted, they're starting all over again. So it's really problematic. But you have that whole process of, you know, who's going to go where, and, you know, what do you have enough of, and what do you have too much of? And then there's the whole layer of, you know, you market, you have to market and promote the market. And then there's the whole layer of the bureaucracy and who you're dealing with on the county level and on the state level. I just spent, you know, 3 days at a state conference listening to people tell me what the rules and regulations are and how the problems that other markets are having. There's a lot of, because there's so much pressure right now for people to get a dollar somehow, some way, there's a lot of people doing things. So a lot of people want to be in markets. There's a lot of market starting. So how do you balance all that is something you think about all the time. And then there's, of course, people who are disgruntled, and then you have to deal with that whole piece.
You mean the farmers or the customers or
either
both?
Either one. So there's that whole part. And, you know, I don't know what to say about that part. You just wish people would be happy and not complain. But
that'll never happen.
That doesn't happen.
One thing I know that people will complain that maybe they can't sell something at the market.
Yeah, that's a big complaint, yeah.
And the way I understand it, and which may not be accurate, but you can tell me, I figure if you have, let's use eggs, because I know eggs comes up. If you have 10 egg vendors, then you're none of those people are going to make enough. None of them are, in all likelihood, they're not all going to sell their eggs. So with each thing, whether it's, you know, fresh pasta or carrots, fresh eggs, meat is meats and fish,
right.
those sorts of things. So you have to balance how many there are, right?
Right.
So
right.
that not only is there the variety
right.
and the choice,
right.
but also customers enough that the people who do come can make a living at
right.
it. So is
right.
that how you have to think about it?
You do. You definitely have mm-hmm. to think about it like that. And it's a little community. Everybody can't be there. Although, you know, it would be nice if more people could be there and more people, more customers would come and support the farmers market. But it is a little community, and you do have to consider that people are there to make a living. This is the way they earn their living. So mm-hmm. if you, you know, divide the pie so much that they can't earn their living there, then you're not, you're doing a disservice to the farmers, a real big uh-huh. disservice to the farmers.
Yeah, I would think that would yeah. be one of the biggest challenges
yeah,
for a market managers,
yeah.
finding that balance.
Yeah, I walk around all the time and I watch what's on the table, what's left. You know, it's 11 o'clock. Do I still have piles of stuff or am I short over here with this kind of product and can I get more of that and should I get more of that? And I think about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty common, regular train of thought for me is mm-hmm. what have I got? What do I need?
Yeah. Now, two of the people that seem to have a lot of fresh seasonal produce, of course seasonal if they're there,
yeah.
pretty much, were Orchard Farm, can mm. of Orchard Farms,
right.
and Nancy Skull of
right.
Middleton Farms. She had fabulous variety.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
just beautiful. She
yeah.
had, oh
yeah.
God, nettles, which I read about last week.
Uh-huh.
Her asparagus is probably the best
it
I've
is.
Ever tasted.
It is. It's really good.
So
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Ken had beautiful, they both had beautiful shallots.
Mm-hmm.
He had the little sprouting broccoli.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really good. He has very good dinosaur kale.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them seem to have a really good variety.
Mm-hmm. They do. They do. And they're both incredibly smart. I mean, if you think it's a no-brainer being a farmer, you better think again.
Yeah.
Because they're both, they're two of the smartest farmers mm-hmm. in the business. And other people learn from them, and uh-huh. they teach other people. Because they really do put all the pieces together in their mind and you know, when to plant and, you know, what goes in this little patch when that comes out and all that so that they keep having that incredible variety, 30 yeah. or 40 different things on their table every Sunday. Imagine that. Imagine making that happen.
I so admire them.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah. Yeah.
utterly incapable of doing that myself, believe
me.
But no, I think it's really marvelous what they do. I have great respect for farmers.
Yeah.
Let's just say a little bit more about eggs, because we're sort of in a unique position with
yeah.
this season with eggs.
Right. It's the first time we've ever had enough eggs. You don't have to buy eggs anywhere else. You can come and get fresh eggs at the market that are really, really good. I actually had one of Nancy's eggs for dinner before I came down here.
Oh, Nancy's
They're
so eggs are
so good.
Good.
They're so good. It's just like you can't ever go back once you've had a good egg. And there's enough. We've never had enough
I know you
before.
Used to, if I didn't get there right at 10 or sometimes even
right.
half an hour early, I missed
they
out on
gone.
Eggs.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, there's is it Smiling Sun?
Smiling Sun. They're from Sebastopol and they're new to the market this
yeah.
year.
And I saw she's going to be starting uh-huh. a CSA in June.
Uh-huh.
But she had beautiful, I bought a dozen of her eggs.
Uh-huh.
So that I want to know everybody's eggs.
Eggs, uh-huh.
She was also selling really gorgeous calla lilies.
They're beautiful.
Uh-huh. So yeah. we have her eggs. We have Nan
right.
from Rainbow.
Uh-huh.
We have Nancy Skull,
uh-huh.
Hector.
Right. Tom from Armstrong Valley.
Oh, that's right, Tom. Yeah,
yeah.
he has
yeah.
really good eggs.
Uh-huh.
And then Larry Tiller, Triple T Farms.
Uh-huh.
So it's six.
Larry.
Not Tiller.
Tassano.
Larry Tassano. Larry Tiller is the other guy.
Yeah.
So you have six egg vendors
yeah.
in Sebastopol
There's
right now.
Plenty of eggs, yeah.
Plenty of
so
eggs.
Come and have deviled eggs, have quiche. And because there's not that much else, it's a good, you might as well eat eggs.
Yeah, and I mean, when you have eggs that are that good,
mm-hmm.
They're so deeply satisfying.
Right.
Two scrambled eggs,
mm-hmm.
Maybe with a little homemade yogurt or just a
right.
good local yogurt
yeah.
and some greens,
mm-hmm.
maybe some of that beautiful sprouting broccoli or something
mm-hmm.
from Ken.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just a good breakfast, but it's a really good dinner.
It's really good.
And
mm-hmm.
I've, you know, people who have heard me very often know that I have a dog now. And one thing I've learned about dogs is they really have quite an appetite. So at least once a week for breakfast or for dinner, Joey gets two scrambled eggs,
uh-huh.
really good eggs, and some yogurt
uh-huh.
with some good butter because they just think they're
Oh, yeah.
So many good nutrients in those foods, and he just loves it. Yeah, I mean, I eat the same thing. One thing people will ask who don't regularly shop at farmers markets or who buy certain things but not others will ask, why should I pay $7, $4 to $7 a dozen for eggs when I can go to wherever, Safeway, and get them for $2 a dozen?
Mm-hmm.
I know my answer. What's your answer?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, you are eating the real thing. There are no weird hormones that make you have breasts when you're five farm market eggs, which is huge because of how much they feed chickens, and it goes right into the egg. Mm-hmm. It isn't like, you know, very much distance on the food chain from the chicken to the egg. So that's one of the main factors for me, and how horrible the lives of those chickens are in commercial setups. That's a big piece for me. But the taste is amazing. But the price, okay. So the farmers, anybody who feeds their chickens good organic laying mash is really spending two or three times as much.
At least.
For the feed.
Yeah.
So that's, you're paying for that. You're paying for the, you know, chickens die. They don't lay, so you're paying for all that.
Yeah. And chickens, you know, if you're letting your chickens run around, as people do.
Yeah.
Critters come and get them.
Yeah. One of the discussions that we had at the Agriculture Forum that occurred at the fairgrounds a couple months ago, I happened to be at a table with a lot of farmers. And if you have 5 acres, which is a big farm around here for most of those small farmers, you can look at maybe taking home every year $10,000 an acre is a really... That's the gross. Mm-hmm. Then you take half of that off for labor and all your inputs, you know, your fertilizers and all that, water and all that. So you're looking at farmers who make maybe $20,000 a year, and a husband and wife team maybe making $20,000 a year. So if you have to pay them another $1 a dozen for eggs, you're giving it to somebody who really, you know, works for it, who's conscientious. There's a lot of love in the eggs, which is a big deal in my opinion. Love in food.
I think that's a really important thing.
Yeah.
It's personalized.
Yeah.
And not just that, you are not just supporting that farmer and those chickens, but you're supporting farming in your very own community.
Right.
And you're not supporting factory farming.
Yeah.
And you're giving yourself and your, you know, and if you don't think you're worth it, think about your family.
Right.
And plus, when you eat really good food, just like if you eat something that is really full of flavor, your body's satisfied much more quickly. You actually eat less.
Yeah, I think so. You know, when Jill from Crescent Moon Farm left, she went on a traveling around. And
wait, what do you mean left?
She's not farming this year here. I'm sorry.
Oh my
you
gosh.
Didn't know that yet.
No.
I know, it's bad. It's really terrible news. But she cried leaving her chickens. I mean.
Now, is her partner farming?
She gave the chickens to Libby, who's, her partner from last year is farming her own farm. And so Jill gave her chickens to Libby and cried when she had to leave her chickens. I mean, what is that? What does that tell you?
So we're not going to have her Padron. Chilies.
We're not going to have her Padron chilies.
Where is she going? Where is
she? She went to Maine, actually.
Moved?
She's always been called to go to Maine. She has family there. She has aunts and cousins and stuff who farm in Maine.
Oh.
So she's always been sort of drawn to try it. So she's going to try it.
Oh.
See what happens if we call her back or not.
I'm sad. I'll start thinking about her.
I know. Yeah, it is sad.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I live on her Padron chilies when they ripen.
Mm-hmm.
There have been a couple of other people who started getting them. None have been as good as hers.
No,
so I really wish farmers a lot of good luck picking up that slack.
Right.
I'm going to talk to a couple of people.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little musical interlude here and be right back. And we're going to talk next about the program Savor that Paul is involved with on Mouthful.
Getting away. John Hardy. he would be free. And up stepped a man and took him by his arm, said, Johnny, walk along with me. He sent for his papi and his mommy too, to come and go his bail. But money won't go a murdering case, and they locked John Hardy back in jail. John Hardy had a pretty little girl. A dress that she wore was blue. As she came skipping through the old jail hall, saying, Hoppy, I've been through to you. John Hardy had another little girl. A dress that she wore was red. She followed his hanging ground, saying, Hoppy, I would rather be dead. I've been to the east and I've been to the west. I've been this wide world around. I've been to the river and I've been baptized, and now I'm on the hanging ground. John Hardy
I should tell you that all the music tonight, however much we get to, is from the really marvelous anthology of American folk music that Harry Smith put together in the 1950s and was issued as a six CD set by the Smithsonian a few years ago. And if you like this old-time folk music, it's really a fabulous collection. I'm talking with Paula Downing, manager of both the Sebastopol and the Santa Rosa Farmers Market, and someone who I love and admire, and now you're doing something else wonderful. It's called Savor. It has nothing to do with the magazine. And it seems to me that one of the things it's doing is getting into that area of food and social justice. And right. The intersection of that is so incredibly important.
Right.
So what is Savor?
Excuse me. Savor is Sonoma Alliance for Veggie Outreach Revolution. I'm still having a hard time wrapping my mouth around all those consonants or whatever. And the history of it is really quite wonderful. About 2 years ago, I decided, we're going to take food stamps at the farmer's market. And I tried to penetrate the bureaucracy to fill out the forms and mm-hmm. make it happen. And I just kept failing. I mean, I futzed around with it for a year. And so one night I was a guest speaker at an event, and two women in the audience who are residents at, it was Sutter Medical Center now. It's called Vista Medical Clinic. It was Sutter Medical Center now then, and it's called Vista Medical Clinic now. Rachel Friedman and Mariah Hansen raised their hand and said, well, why don't you take food stamps at the farmer's market? And I went, oh, my God. All I could do is tell her the truth because I can't penetrate the bureaucracy. And they said, well, we'll help you. And then a couple of weeks later, at the Sebastopol market, a woman named Marion Deeds, who's works at Health and Human Services, Sonoma County Health, and I was telling her the same thing. Oh, it's so great. I met these women. And she said, well, I'll hire somebody to help you. And she hired somebody who filled out the application and went through the whole process and got us both markets and other markets in the county qualified to accept mm-hmm. EBT.
So that was EBT,
electronic benefits transfer, okay. is another word. Right now, it's being called CalFresh. The new name,
right.
Which is a great name.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. So then we said, okay, we all got together, and other people, Marion got other people involved, and who from other agencies in the county who do things with people who are low income. And we had these meetings, and we said, okay, we're going to launch the food stamp thing at the markets, and we're going to have this event. So we did a whole event and got together and had fun. They're really a fun bunch. There's about 10 of them, and we just have a good time together. So then we were having so much fun. One of the doctors was actually a chef. Wendy Kohatsu is a chef, so she came and she cooked all this stuff for people, and then we got involved with a group of called Voices, which is an agency that helps kids when you're in the foster system. When you're 18, you get thrown out,
and you often have no resources
right.
at all.
None. They live under bridges. They have no money. They have no jobs. They have nothing. So Voices helps them figure out how to create a life.
Now, is that a county operated program?
it's a private agency, and VOICES, and I don't know what that stands for. And there's one in Napa and one here. Uh-huh. I think the Napa one was the original one, but they're a private agency. And one of the great things about Voices is that some of the kids who've come up through the program end up being administrators. So they're really fun to work with. Uh-huh. It's a young, fun crowd. So they came and they did arts with the kids and they helped cook and they did scavenger hunts and they did all that stuff at our first event. So that was so much fun. So then we did another event. And now this year we said, well, maybe we should be an organization. So we got together and thought. And this Sonoma, whatever we're calling ourselves, Alliance for Veggie Outreach Revolution came as a result of meeting together. So we're having another event in Santa Rosa Market. At the Vets Building, this next Saturday, April 9th.
Oh, April 9th, okay.
Yeah. And one of the personal great things for me is that for the Sebastopol Farmers Market about 8 or 9 years ago, one of our vendors made all these vegetable costumes. She made corn and peas and eggplants and tomatoes, and they were great. And we wore them in the parade for 3 years, and then we all got sick of it, so I put them in my garage. So one of the people in Savor, her name is Jennifer McClendon, and she works with Healthy California, which it goes into the schools. So I got to give her the costumes.
Oh, great.
So they wear the costumes at the farmer's market, all these vegetables, and they wear the costumes in the schools. So all these vegetables costumes are out there being used, which makes me really happy. So Healthy California will be there, and they bring games and things for the kids to play. And then Voices Kids will be there with some arts and crafts to do, and hopefully somebody will be there to sign you up to get CalFresh right at the market. That's up in the air right now,
no,
but
that's
the hope.
To sign you up for food stamps.
Yeah, if you want to, if you qualify and you haven't signed up, which because it feels like a hassle or uncomfortable, because 25 or 30,000 people use EBT, use CalFresh in the county,
and it's not. I heard recently that. It's not as difficult right now to sign
right,
up as it,
it
had been.
Right, they've made it a lot
easier. Right.
Jerry Brown is making things a lot easier. I mean, you used to have to be fingerprinted. He's trying to get rid of that. So, and you used to have, you couldn't have property of any kind, and I think that's going away if it hasn't already. So it's much, much easier to qualify because so many people have lost their jobs.
Yeah.
And they should take advantage of this. There's not a stigma attached. You should take advantage of something because the reason why you've lost your job is because the government is tied in with the industries and all that, and they took your jobs to China and every place else. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, there's some things you have no control over.
Yeah, and there's so much going on, and this is when we really get into the social justice element. If you look at what's going on right now with the budget in Congress and where all the cuts are, I was listening to that great Senator Bernie Sanders talking about it a couple nights ago, and you look, they're cutting food benefits for pregnant women and children. I mean, everywhere you look, they're targeted at people who have fallen out of the middle class because the middle class is declining.
Right.
And, you know, they found at the same time, very recently, they found $70 billion of waste in 1 year's budget in defense.
Right. $70 billion?
$70 billion. Mm-hmm. And that could reinstate all of the programs for the most at-risk people in the country. They could reinstate them and actually double them. But they're getting they're reducing funds to Head Start. I mean, everywhere you turn, the what's available for people who are suffering because of the economy is being cut by this Republican budget. So, you know, praise Jerry Brown for doing that. That's really great.
Well, you know, I mean, in some ways, all that's going on puts us in a position where each of our individual, wherever we spend our money, I saw Bob Kennard a couple months ago, and he said, if everybody in Sonoma County, there are 500,000 people in Sonoma County, if we all spent $2 locally, that would generate $1 million in the local economy every day. So you just have to think differently. You have to think about taking care of each other, because we have to take care of each other. We're not going to get taken care of by all
those people. We have to take care of each other, and we have to take care of our the community we live in.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
You know, we live, and that's how. Well, I could. I won't go down that the alley I was going to go down, because I can stay on this topic forever. But it's we have to look to ourselves and each other, just like you say. Yeah. Now, how do food stamps work at the farmer's market? I mean, I know that it's not possible for each vendor to have a little machine. So what's the what are the mechanics
the process.
Of it?
They come to me, and I run it. I get it. I have a little.
It's like a credit card machine.
A credit card machine, and I run their card, and then I give them. Right now, I'm giving them wooden nickels, which is really cumbersome. I'm going to go to paper. And I found this. I didn't find it, but somebody helped me find this. It's paper made of stone. It's really an interesting, incredibly durable paper. It's environmentally conscientious. Not cheap, but it'll last for a long time. So I'm going to go to paper. So but I give them right now, I'm giving them little wooden nickels, and they and then they go spend those.
Okay, so let's say you say, I want $20. I want to spend $20. I want to spend $40 at the farmer's market. And so you run that off their card and give them something comparable.
40 wooden nickels. And right now we're hoping, well, we are going to get another Roots of Change grant for $2,500 so we can give matching funds. So if you spend $10, you get another $5. So you get two one for matching funds for free. So that's really great. It's already started in Santa Rosa, and it should start in Sebastopol another week or two.
And then there's some doctors who are working with you in the Alliance. And what is it about the... They got a big grant to write prescriptions for vegetables. So tell me about this. This is really exciting.
It is really exciting. There's one other place in the country that's doing it, and that's Boston. And so actually Michael Dimmick from Roots of Change connected these doctors with the organization in Boston that's doing it. And they are doing a study. And I think, you know, I'm not very good at details like this, but I'm pretty sure it's with pregnant women. And they're writing prescriptions to the women to go to the market. Instead of writing prescriptions for drugs, they're writing prescriptions for vegetables.
And it's for the farmer's market?
For the farmer's market, specifically for the farmer's market. And then they're going to, you know, there'll be control groups and all that. And they're going to study what impact having real food, eating real food, has on their health.
And so then, say they come with a prescription and they turn that into you and you give them
some money to spend. And then we'll get reimbursed.
Get reimbursed.
Down the road,
God, that's really, that's... remarkably innovative.
It's wonderful.
That's a really exciting thing to be
it's
doing.
It's very exciting. These women in, well, it's all women. There are men in the clinic, but the people I deal with are all women. They are totally inspired. They make you go, okay, the medical profession is on the job. They're so thinking about the best ways to serve their community. They're wonderful.
They need to do something about hospital food while they're at it.
Well, well, you know, actually, that is slowly moving.
I've heard with Palm Drive, right?
Yeah, Palm Drive. I have a meeting on Tuesday with someone from Palm Drive about the food. Linda Hansen from Memorial Hospital has been really working to include fresh local food in her menu. So the thought is out there. It's it's a big bureaucracy, so it's not going to be an easy thing. But it's coming. It's moving.
Let's take another little musical break here, and we'll be right back with more chat with the marvelous Paula Downing.
In the days of 18 and 1, hanging on. is all I done.
Hand me down my pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own.
In the days of 18 and 2,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 2,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 2, pagan shoes is all I do.
Hand me down my pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own.
In the days of 18 and 3,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 3,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 3, pagan shoes is all you'd see.
Hand me down my pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own.
In the days of 18 and 4,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 4,
pagan all.
In the days of 18 and 4, I said I'd peg them shoes no more.
Throw away my pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own.
They've invented a new machine,
pagan all.
Pagan all. They've invented a new machine, the prettiest little thing you ever seen.
Throw away my pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own.
Make 100 pair of my one,
pagan all.
Make 100 pair of my one,
pagan all.
Make 100 pair of my one, pagan shoes, it ain't no fun.
My pegs, my pegs, my pegs, my own. Some shoemaker.
Yes, Joey wants to say to say hello to everyone here on Mouthful. He likes to do that now and then. It's Michelle Jordan. I am with Paula Downing. It is Mouthful here on KRCB. Thanks for tuning in. And Joey will quit barking momentarily, I'm sure. We're talking about this Bastable Farmers Market, the new Saver program. And we're also talking about the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. And let's talk about that a little bit, because it's the most has been voted the most popular market in the county. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest of all the farmers markets mm-hmm. in the county. Mm-hmm. At the peak of the season, how many vendors can you hold there in Santa Rosa?
Well, last summer I had about 80 at the peak of the season. I am the person who does all the logistics and legwork, and that's about all I can handle. I have a helper now, so I might be able to get another 5 or 10.
Oh, cool.
In this year.
Uh-huh.
So maybe 90.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty maxed out.
We hear every now and then that either Santa Rosa Market might move somewhere, or Sebastopol Market might move somewhere. Anything to talk about on those subjects?
Well, okay, the Sebastopol Market is the best candidate for moving. I talked to the fellow Barney who owns the Barlow property, the old Barlow property, mm-hmm. Apple property, as you come into town on Highway 12. And he's been working really hard to turn that into a food center. He needs 75% commitment from tenants in order for the bank to start writing checks. He's got 60% commitment.
Oh.
So he's really close at this point. He's got his permits pretty lined up.
Uh-huh.
He's got a contractor waiting to go. He's done a ton of preliminary work, you know, mm-hmm. cleaning up the soils and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really pretty close. And the hope is that we'll move next year. And then we can be year-round, which is the big plus mm-hmm. about moving, is that we can be year-round.
And it'll still be on a specific day at a specific time.
Right, right, right. I mean, there's talk about going another day, you know, another weekday uh-huh. if we move. I haven't thought that far ahead.
Yeah.
I like Sunday market.
I do too.
So that is the best possibility of moving. Mm-hmm. The Santa Rosa market really looked at moving to Railroad Square.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard.
Personally, I love the idea.
Yeah.
I was totally in favor of it. I was ready to go. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't the general feeling. There was feeling that it was maybe a good idea, but people weren't quite ready to make that commitment.
Would parking be a problem over at Railroad Square?
Well, the way it would be set up until they built that
right
center, which who knows?
Who knows?
They were going to clean up that whole vacant lot that's right behind uh-huh the railroad tracks.
Yeah, and you would
we were
going
to be able
that
to park in there.
Yeah, if you could do that, yeah, that would make
and
it very
it
different.
It was a $60,000 project. The developer was willing to commit to it. Uh-huh. But we didn't commit, so it didn't happen.
Okay.
Well, we were going to set up the market around Chops, down there, uh-huh, whatever that street is, yeah, down by the theater and that
right
whole little. And then Sixth they
street
would have opened that parking
yeah,
lot
street
up for us.
Uh-huh.
And not paved it, but done something to make it bring the dust down.
Right.
So it was a great vision because it's in Railroad Square, uh-huh, which is, you know, the center of agriculture in the county in the beginning.
Yeah.
And so it was nice to go back to our roots. That mm-hmm was very appealing to me emotionally.
Sure.
And, you know, my favorite coffee shop is down there, so uh-huh that was nice. There's a great yarn shop down there, but anyway, it didn't happen. Uh-huh. It could happen, but
it could at
happen
some point in the
yeah
future.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But for now, because
yeah
there was a time, and I think it was before you were managing the market, where it seemed like it wasn't going to work out any longer at the vet center.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
always
they moved up, it over yeah one aisle.
Right, we moved it over one
yeah
aisle, yeah.
And
it's always up in the air. When you're dealing with a public agency or, you know, a governmental agency, mm-hmm, you never know. And things are happening, you know, right now that make me feel a little less secure with our, once again, for a while it was quiet because they raised our rent immensely. And then we went to them and said, please don't do this. And Shirley Zane was wonderful, wonderful. She stepped right up to the plate and worked on it with us and reduced our rent back, helped reduce our rent back to something we could afford.
Mm-hmm.
Not as cheap as it was, but something that we felt like we could afford. So mm-hmm I totally respect and admire her for
yes
helping us with that. She
yeah
didn't have to do that. And so that whole, oh my God, we're going to have to pay this much rent, we can't afford it, went away. But now there's insecurity in my mind because there is a movement on the part of one of the supervisors who works in Sonoma, Valerie Brown, to move the Sonoma market that's been there for 25 or 30
yeah
years out and get somebody else in there.
Yeah, oh, right, yes. That's
that makes me feel insecure.
Yeah, they opened
yeah
it up
yeah
to bidding.
Right, they opened it up for bidding.
And, you know, Hilda Schwartz
yeah
has a long, long history of
oh
running, operating really successful,
you're right,
well-loved
right
markets.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I actually contacted Valerie Brown's office
about that. Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, well, it's up for, you know, it's up for renewal.
Right,
so
right
we thought we should open it.
Right.
Which seemed really
right
weak.
Right, right.
A weak explanation.
Makes you feel pretty insecure. And the thing about that is that it makes me feel really angry is that Hilda has served hundreds and hundreds of farmers. She has mm-hmm launched careers of so many small farmers. The farmers love her
yeah
because she's been so supportive of them for,
right, and she
for
works
30,
like you,
40 years,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, she works like you do to have that balance
mm-hmm
that allows
yeah, she does
farmers to thrive,
right,
and
yeah
that's so important.
And she's in her 70s. Let her retire in peace. You're going to disrupt her life at this point? Come
yeah
on.
Yeah.
Be a human being here.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
my two cents.
Yeah. If you have an opinion about that, you know, you can say you heard it on Mouthful. And,
yeah,
you know, contact Valerie Brown's
yeah
office.
Yeah.
Certainly
yeah
now is the time to hear from people.
Right.
And they
it
did
is
say, well, Hilda is invited to apply.
Right.
You know, and it's like, there's nothing more insulting. You've been running something for 25
right
years. And so
right
it's like, bye-bye. If you want the
right
job, you can apply.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Where is
yeah
continuity and community
right
and loyalty?
Right.
It
right
really comes back
right
to what we were talking about.
It does.
About supporting each
it's
other.
The only way it's going to work is if you have that feeling toward each other and you work to be conscientious and caring about
mm-hmm
each other. It's the only way we're going to survive.
Yeah.
It's survival is at stake. I mean, look around. You know, it's scary.
Yeah. And we've lost a number of really successful things
yeah
for just this reason.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Select Sonoma was
yeah
was a tragedy when we lost it.
It's true. It's really true.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll ever get revived either, which would be a perfect time if somebody wanted to, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And we
yeah
had, what was, we had the Farmland Group, too.
Right, and right.
What are happening to Farmland Group? I was talking to somebody about that the other day. It's like, where did they go?
I don't know.
So this all brings us back to a topic that's really close to our hearts, and that's, I mean, we've been touching about it. I mean, touching on it all evening. But the importance of local and why.
Of local, yeah.
And what it takes.
Right. You have to shift your mindset. You really have to. You can't say, oh, I need a birthday cake. I'm going to go to
Safeway.
Right. You have to say, I need a birthday cake. I'm going to go to Oliver's, if you're going to buy a birthday cake. Or I'm going to go to a local baker. You have to think that way. If I want a book, you can't go, I'm going to call Amazon, which is the absolute stock. If you want a cup of coffee, you can't say, I'm going to Starbucks. The CEO of Starbucks just got $3.5 million bonus. Come on.
What?
Don't give him the money. I just read that in the Wall Street Journal. The CEO of Starbucks got a $3.5 million bonus this year. Give the money to somebody who's trying to pay the rent.
Go to your neighbor. Go to Flying Goat.
Yeah,
go to,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many. Every community,
yeah.
Everyone has a locally owned coffee shop.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that I have not been able to answer for myself, it's a continual problem, is people have busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting their kids to school. They have two jobs. They can't, you know, they can barely get the oil changed on their car. You know, they're trying to figure out health insurance and get their kids vaccinations or not or whatever, all this. And so they say, oh, Whole Foods, I'll go there. It's supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or, Costco gives, you know, I can get things really cheap at Costco and I don't have much money.
Mm-hmm.
So, for people that are just maxed out living their lives, how do you get, how do they learn how important it is to support
it's
their community?
It's really a habit. It's really a habit, I think. I mean,
but how do you reach those people that haven't done it yet?
Is there
a agenda? I mean, because you can't. You know, I look at somebody, why are you buying that? You know, it's like, shut your mouth, Michelle. You can't do that. You know, just be open and listen to people and hear what their lives are.
Yeah.
You know, so how do those people, what is the epiphany that happens? It's like, oh.
I don't know. It's really about you surviving in some ways, because if we don't support each other, if we don't help each other to survive, then you're next on the block. You know, it's what they used to say about the Nazis, right? I mean, you're next. And it was true. Somebody else was next. And that's what's happening. Somebody else is next. And so if you think about just making that shift in your habits so that you're going to a local grocery store instead of somebody who's taking the money to Austin, Texas, which is where Whole Foods is home. House is Austin. So give it here. Keep it here. Because if it stays here, the chances are better that it'll come back in your pocket, that somehow it will come back to you. You really have to believe that. I believe that. I believe that totally. That, you know, when I go into, I mean, Oliver's is my grocery store. Sometimes I go to Pacific, but Oliver's is on my way home.
You know, there's no Oliver's in Sebastopol, which is sad. Mm-hmm. So if I shop locally, I divide between Pacific and Fiesta and Furcrest. Yeah, you know, Furcrest are run by really nice people.
Right. And Andy's too. It's a really,
and Andy's, absolutely.
There's
Andy's
plenty
too.
Of choice. Andy's but is then, a reasonable price too.
Yeah. But then I get to Oliver's. And one of the things that's really great about Oliver's, and I do want to have both the owner and the general manager of Oliver's on sometimes, and they have really good policies because there are certain markets that I won't name right now that they charge a premium for local foods and they give the best shelf space and display space to the national brands who are cutting them a deal.
Right.
Oliver's puts local products in the best space and they are always offering good discounts.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch throughout, say, a month, you will notice really good prices on local foods, and they have certain deals. Like when, say, McAvoy olive oil, which is, you know, technically in Marin, right on the border, that I still consider Marin local. They have a deal when the new vintage of McAvoy olive oil comes out. They buy the entire previous vintage, and so you will find this very pricey olive oil on sale, like 50% off at a certain time of year. The time to look is, I think, the early part of the year to see what's there. But they'll also buy closeouts on local wines. They'll feature local dairy products, mm-hmm. really cheap. Oliver's is a great place. Mm-hmm. I think another thing, and it's just stuff that I've thought of, if you know somebody who's really busy and they don't have time to mm-hmm. really think about this and you know mm-hmm. they care, just sometime hand them a flyer about a CSA in their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. you're going over to their house to visit, or there's a birthday or anniversary coming up. Mm-hmm. Put together a beautiful basket of produce from the farmer's market mm-hmm. and have little tags saying where each one is from.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Take a kid to the farmer's market with mm-hmm. you. You know, not your own, but another mm-hmm. one.
Somebody's kid. Yeah.
Or if you have a child that you take mm-hmm. to the farmer's market, have that child bring his best friend or her mm-hmm. best friend along mm-hmm. and just introduce them and mm-hmm. introduce them. Mm-hmm. Kids yeah. spend the night, make them scrambled eggs with good eggs. Mm-hmm. Or one of the gifts I think is wonderful is give somebody a dozen eggs. Mm-hmm. Tie a bow around it or put them in a basket uh-huh. and present it because, uh-huh. like you said, you know, eat a good egg mm-hmm. and you can't go back to eating bad eggs.
It's
and
true.
You really can't. I mean, that's one mm-hmm. of the ones mm-hmm. I find it impossible mm-hmm. to go back.
Yeah, and I spend all my money anyway, so I just try to make sense with what I spend. You know, I try to, I mean, I don't eat meat, so that makes that expense, but you try to make your budget. If you think about it, you can live on a budget that's not very big and eat well. You can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You just have to think about it. You have to change the way you think.
Yeah. I mean, one thing you can do is never, ever buy anything in a package.
Oh, yeah. You that's one that you can really do. Yeah.
Don't buy any of those things. I mean, and I don't mean buy, I mean, maybe even buy bulk rice, but you know what I mean. Don't buy prepared foods.
Right.
Don't buy things like Rice-A-Roni and stuff with all the spices and everything in one box.
Because
you're paying for the packaging. You're paying for the marketing of that national product. And you're sending the money out of your community.
Yeah.
And you're not getting local foods.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've been poor. I lived in Oregon, rural Oregon. We made $9,000 a year. I never bought fast food because I made bulk beans and bulk rice and I ate a lot of vegetables out of the garden. I mean, it can be done. If you're really poor, it can be done. But you have to think that way. You have to commit to thinking that way.
You have to think and you have to know where food comes from and how it becomes something that people eat.
Yeah.
And once you do, it's so empowering.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's really empowering.
Yeah.
It feels really good.
Yeah, because you're just like, okay, what am I going to eat today?
Yeah.
Well, I know how to figure that out.
Right. You know? There's plenty of eggs. We're eating eggs.
Yeah, or, you know, I have a pantry stocked with grains and legumes.
Me too.
And, you know, once you know how to cook grains and legumes, you can cook.
Right.
You know, like, if I couldn't get out of my house for a month, I would probably be able to eat just fine with what's in my pantry.
Yeah, me too.
And going outside and pick, you know, knowing what wild greens, like Miner's lettuce is really nice right now.
Miner's lettuce is beautiful.
There's purslane growing right now. Mm-hmm. Wild asparagus, or it's actually not wild. We should call it feral asparagus. The escapees, where I live off of Atascadero Creek, was in the 40s. An asparagus farm.
Oh, how cool.
And when the drought ended in the early 94, I guess it was, December 93, January 94, when that drought ended, all of a sudden I started getting, I never planted asparagus.
Really?
And I have this huge crop of asparagus every spring now. And it's very common for asparagus to escape.
Uh-huh.
And there were a lot of asparagus farms in Sebastopol.
Wow.
So
I
look around.
That.
Yeah. Look around and, you know, there's apples.
Oh, there's lots of nice apples,
They were really fragrant apples at the Sebastopol Farmer's Market today.
Yeah. He's not local. Well, I mean, he's California.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's no local apples left. Uh-huh. I mean, people don't store. And you have to be able to store.
I thought, wow, did they have a nice root cellar or something?
No, they store. I mean, they're from Fresno.
Oh, okay.
So it's one of my compromises. We could have some apples. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just really amazed at how aromatic they were.
Yeah,
really,
good.
Really
they're
strong.
Good. Yeah.
And I was also surprised to see one of the things, there was some pretty decent garlic.
Yeah, good garlic and green garlic is...
Yes, green garlic is just starting to come out. Nancy Skull had some
delicious,
nice little green garlics.
Yeah, yeah.
But both Nancy Skull and Hector Alvarez had some bulb garlic that hadn't gotten soft and wasn't sprouting yet, because we're pretty much from right now until June or July is the lean season
it's the lean
when there's
season.
Not so much
it is
garlic.
Yeah. Hector is a smart cookie. He's a smart guy. Yeah. He really knows a lot about farming. So he can do things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I used to buy, you know, I'd buy a lot of garlic. And I realized it's a really stupid thing to do because people like Hector, who do it for a living, they can store it better than I can.
Right,
I don't have a
root
cellar or a barn where I can keep it cool.
Right.
So now instead of throwing out garlic that I haven't used up in time, I buy it almost every week at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
So, next, let's sum up because we're running out of time here. Next Saturday at the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. So that is that the 9th?
Yeah, that's the 9th. Yeah.
Recap again what's happening.
Okay, we're going to have lots of kids stuff. We're going to have the library is donating piles of kids books, so there'll be free kids books. And if you have some you want to get rid of and trade off, come and bring them and we'll put them on the table and people can take kids books. We're going to have kids games. We're going to have cooking for kids, recipes for kids. We're going to have scavenger hunts. It's, and we're going to have, so with your CalFresh, you can get another 50% for free to spend at the market. There's a raffle, so we're going to raffle off a basket of goodies. The Voices kids will be there doing arts and crafts. Jennifer from Healthy California will be there with her veggie costumes and games. So it'll be a fun kids' day.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And throughout the day?
Yeah,
from market 9 opens till at 8, noon. Okay, and the market opens at 8:30 and it continues until noon.
Till noon, yeah.
Oh, that sounds really fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. Yeah.
And then what do we have to look for as special events coming up in Sebastopol? Always music.
Yeah, well, we're going to have a little Earth Day thing on the 24th, which will be fun. And hopefully some farm animals will be there. I'm trying to get Javier to bring some of his goats. Javier from Bodega Yerba Santa Goat Cheese has a million goats right now, he said. So, and some chickens, and so the kids can look. And we'll do some recycling information there from... And we're going to do a clothing swap. So that's our nod to Earth Day on the 24th in Sebastopol. And I don't have in my head. We'll hopefully have another herbal fair in June, but I don't have too much
that's
in my head.
That's good enough.
Yeah.
We'll catch them up again.
Yeah.
Herbal fair in June. Okay, great. Now, if people want to contact you for any reason, maybe they want to talk to you about the farmer's market, maybe they have something, how do you like people to get a hold of you?
Well, I'm not a very good blog web person, so you call me on the phone,
522-9305. That's 522-9305.
That's the market phone number.
That's okay.
And if I don't call you back, call me back.
Okay. Call and leave a second message.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I lose track.
Sure.
I'm old.
You're just one person. You're just one person, and you're juggling by. You must be juggling at least 150 farmers between the two markets, the
vendors,
market
state. Yeah.
And
yeah.
We should say that the Santa Rosa Farmers Market, of course, takes place on 2 days, Wednesdays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. So you work really hard.
I do work really hard.
You work really hard, and everyone who knows you really appreciates it, Paula.
Thank you.
We admire it, and we love you.
Thank you.
I'm really happy that you
were.
It's really happy you could take time this evening, because I know that after a market day, you're really wiped out.
So I'm going to go home and go to bed and watch a movie.
There you go. Okay. So that's it for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a great week. Visit a farmer's market, shop locally, and meet me back here next Sunday for another episode of the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan, and you've been listening to KRCB.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too, and he'll sing.
To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time.
got some beans and good corn bread. Listen to what the preacher says.
To the Lord, praises be.
Praises be.
Time for dinner now.
Dinner glory.
Got some beans and good corn bread.
Listen to the preacher.